When our eyes behold through the gathering night, city of gold, our harbor bright. What a moment that will be when faith is lost in sight. And we're at the end of our journey at last. We come together at times like this, the Lord's Day, for a foretaste of heaven, to enliven our hope, to encourage us on our journey. We're thankful that we can be here today. We're thankful that you're here as we look forward to our heavenly home. If you're visiting with us, we're especially privileged to have you in our midst. I saw a news report this last week about the need to change the filter in your home air conditioning unit, your central air unit. You're supposed to do that at least once every 3 months, it said, to keep down the levels of dust, allergens, and pollutants in your home. Sounds like pretty good advice. You probably don't think about it much, but most all of us live in homes that have HVAC or central air units. And in a building like this right now, there's air circulating invisibly all around us all of the time. And there are filters that take out some of the dust and pollutants and things that make their way into the building. There are filters that remove some of that. If we didn't have those filters, after a while, pollutants would build up. And frankly, it would just be kind of nasty in here. A lot of dust and pollen and all that sort of thing building up. And we'd all be sneezing and coughing much more than we already are, which is enough to begin with. Pollution inside. That's why we need to change the air filters. Pollution in us. That's why we need to change our filters. Because we, as a building or a home, can be polluted on the inside by what comes through us, unfiltered, in the way of what we hear and say and see. So a very simple concept this morning in this lesson. I'd like to examine with you, keeping that filter good and sharp and clean and able to keep us pure inside, making sure that we're filtering out the things that we don't need in us by way of what we hear or say or see. I believe there's much scriptural precedent for saying that we need to filter what we hear. In fact, in Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Take heed what you hear." There are many other warnings and statements in Scripture about being careful about what we hear and how we hear. You know, the ears are fascinating parts of our bodies. They do a lot more than we think, probably. They're responsible not only for hearing, you know, wide range of pitches and volumes, but also responsible for our balance. Some of you have problems with vertigo from time to time. I know we have several in the congregation that suffer from that. And vertigo is almost always caused by a problem in the ear. And you think about, you know, where our ears are situated on our bodies, you know, both sides here, and the way that they help us with our balance. And what happens when they're not working properly is that we get out of balance. We have dizziness. And so it is in our spiritual lives when we're not hearing as we ought to hear, or we're not hearing what we ought to hear, or our ears aren't working the way they need to be working. We get out of balance spiritually. And it makes it much easier for us to fall in a spiritual sense. This morning, I want to talk with you about three things really quickly that we need to be concerned when it comes to filtering what we hear. Now, the things I'm going to talk about, again, might not be the things that you would choose to talk about. There are many things in Scripture that, according to what the Bible says, we should be filtering with regard to what we hear. Bad music is something that, you know, we need to filter that out, don't we? Gossip. That's something we need to filter out. Effusive praise or overmuch criticism. Those are things that ought to be filtered. I'm not going to talk about any of those. But I've chosen three things that I think are important along this line. False teaching. False teaching is all around us in the religious world. We need to be aware of that. And we need to be very cautious about listening to it. Letting it come through our air system, so to say, in our brains. In Deuteronomy 13, God warned the Israelites against listening to prophets who contradicted His word. He says in Deuteronomy 13 and verse 1, "If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods, which we have not known, let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him." Don't even listen to somebody that's telling you to go another way. Don't even listen to somebody who would make out like there's another God that you can follow to your profit and benefit. Don't even listen to that person. But also, in the Old Testament, there are warnings about listening to those who would outwardly at least acknowledge God and say that, yes, we need to be following Him, but what they say to do is not what God said to do. In the time of Jeremiah, Jeremiah was commissioned by God to give a very difficult message to the children of Israel, to the people of Judah. It was a message that you would not want to have heard had you been living in Judah in that time. And basically the message was, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, is going to come and wipe you out and take you captive, and you need to be submissive to him for 70 years because God has ordained this. And patriotic citizens of Judah didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear that our country is going to be taken over by Babylon and that they needed to be submissive to this foreign king. It's a very unpopular message. But it was the message that Jeremiah was called upon to preach. Well, you can only imagine there were a lot of others who rose up in the name of God and said things that were much smoother to the ears, said things that made people happy. Oh yeah, Nebuchadnezzar is not going to conquer us. It's never going to happen. You're never going to have to be submissive to him. The Lord will protect us. That was their message. And so repeatedly, as you go through the book of Jeremiah, what you have are warnings against even listening to those people who were perverting the message of God, who were speaking smooth things, but not telling people what they needed to hear. In Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 16, thus says the Lord of hosts, "Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord." There are a lot of prophets, teachers, supposedly of God's word, in this world today, in this country today, in our town today, who are teaching things in the name of God, supposedly, that are contrary to His will, which cannot be found in His word. We need to be careful about what we listen to. They'll make us worthless. As you go on in the book of Jeremiah, at least five more times in the book, the people are told not to listen to prophets whose message contradicted the word of God. You can see it in chapter 26 and verse 4, chapter 27 verse 9, verse 14, verse 16, and verse 17. Over and over again. In the New Testament, Christians have been given similar warnings, haven't we? If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house. You don't need to be hobnobbing with somebody who's not teaching the truth. You don't need to be listening to them. You don't need to be supporting them. That's what the message of 2 John 10 is. In Romans 16 and verse 17, Paul says, "I urge you, brethren, to note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them." Don't even be around them. If somebody's not going to teach the truth, if they're not going to teach the doctrine which you learn, the doctrine of Christ, not only, don't pay attention to them, just don't even be around them. avoid them. And it doesn't matter if they're, you know, somebody you work with, a member of some other congregation in the community, somebody who's a faithful member of some denomination somewhere, but they're always spouting off this stuff that is contrary to the Word of God. You just don't need to be listening to that all the time. Secondly, and this goes along with maybe the sermon last Sunday night about our true country, which is the kingdom of Christ. There are a lot of media reports we hear constantly of geopolitical tensions and concerns. In biblical times, God's people were not immune to rumors of possible world troubles. Those kinds of rumors have always existed. And God's people have been instructed repeatedly in Scripture, over and over again, not to be disturbed by such, but to trust in God who is in control. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. That was about 40 years after the time that he prophesied of it here, what happened in 70 AD. And, of course, the disciples were wanting to know, well, when is it going to happen, and what will be the signs of it, and all this sort of thing. And Jesus tells them in Matthew 24 and verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. You turn on any cable news channel any day of the week, and what are you going to have? Wars and rumors of wars. And folks, if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, and you're watching that kind of stuff about 24/7, and you're just so upset you can't even sleep at night by the wars and rumors of wars in this world, I want to suggest to you that you need to turn on a filter and not let that stuff through you like this. Not let it destroy you like it's doing and make your life miserable. God is in control. There have always been rumors of war. The message of Scripture is, trust God. Back in Jeremiah chapter 51, again, I told you about Jeremiah's very difficult message. But in verse 46 of the book of Jeremiah, toward the end of the book, we read, lest your heart faint and you fear for the rumor that will be heard in the land. A rumor will come one year, and after that in another year, a rumor will come, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. You're always going to have those kinds of rumors. And sometimes they'll come to pass. And ultimately, so what? The child of God has to trust God in every situation. The media in our society wants you to get hooked on listening to their biased and inflammatory accounting of what's going on in this world. And if you're not cautious, it will rob you of your peace and joy that you ought to have from knowing that God is in control. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul, in praising God for all that he's done and his great plan to save you and I, says that in him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him, listen to this, who works all things according to the counsel of his will. I trust God. And if he can say, through the blood of his Son, multitudes of sinners over the ages, he can take care of political affairs in this world. It's well within his power. Filter what you hear. Filter what you hear when it comes from those who would give spiritual advice or counsel or guidance who are really not coming from a foundation of Jesus Christ. Today, the Oprah Winfrey Network is presenting a series of television shows on what they call Super Soul Sunday, in which they'll give offer several programs that feature life coaches and spiritual gurus and counselors of various sorts who, according to their advertising, will help you discover the truth that is in you. You know, we need to be discovering the truth that is in the Lord. The speakers on these programs on the Oprah Winfrey Network include Jack Canfield, who is the author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Brené Brown, Tim Story, Thomas More, even former President Jimmy Carter. Now, these speakers, as far as the world goes, are generally good people, I think. And they may at times say some things and write some things that have some value. But rest assured of this, they do not present the truth of Jesus Christ as the answer for man's deepest spiritual concerns. That's not where they're coming from. They're coming from helping you discover the truth that is in you. When what you need to be doing is discovering the truth that is in Jesus Christ. And I want to caution you about just picking up books. And, you know, I've got two or three of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. There's some nice things in those. But if you're going to look at that kind of stuff, you need to filter it pretty carefully. You need to understand that these people are not coming from the foundation that God would have you work from and live by. And just accepting what somebody says because, well, here are the 7 habits of highly effective people, or, you know, here's what's good for your soul from a counseling sort of view or whatever. Just accepting all of that without any filter on it, you are putting yourself back in the world. In Colossians 2 and verse 8, listen to what Paul says. He says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." His word is our guide. His life is our pattern. You want a life coach? Look to Jesus. You want to follow somebody on this earth that's worth following? Follow somebody who's following Him. On the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, our Heavenly Father spoke from heaven and said of Jesus Christ, "This is my beloved Son. Hear Him." Listen to Him. Unfiltered. Listen to Jesus Christ. That must be our approach. Hearing, by its very nature, is fairly selective. This scene unfolds several times a week in my household where we're trying to get a little bit of rest in the evening and maybe Sandy and I and Katie sometimes sitting in the living room and we might have the TV on, we might not, we might be sitting there on our computers and we might be trying to carry on conversations at the same time. And so this happens all the time, you know, Katie maybe will be talking to me and I'll be on the computer focused on, if not listening to something in my mind, reading something, and she's trying to talk to me, and this goes on for 2 or 3 minutes, and I'll look up and say, "Did you say something to me?" You can only really hear one voice at a time. Have you noticed that? Have you ever been in a room, maybe, where you're talking to somebody, there's a crowd of people, like Eastside, after services are dismissed, and there's you're on a conversation with somebody that maybe you're interested in, but also there's a conversation right here next to you that also you'd like to hear, and you try to get in both conversations, and you find you're not in either one by the time. Hearing is, if you're listening to one thing, what I'm saying is, if you're listening to one thing, you're not listening to something else. So when we're focused on listening to what false teachers have to say, to what the media has to say, to what life coaches and spiritual gurus have to say, not focused on hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, which alone can save our souls. It's the message. It's the message we need to hear. Filter what you hear. filter what you say. Again, this could go a lot of places, couldn't it? We could have a whole series of lessons on our speech. And I've got about 5 minutes to cover what I'm going to talk about here. Think before speaking. Whether we're talking about saying an ugly word, telling a story that might be gossip, telling something that might not be 100% true, expressing our feelings when we're angry, filter it. Think before speaking. Listen to the wise man in Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. Think about it before you give an answer. The mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. It's unfiltered. The righteous man is going to study. He's going to think about it. Proverbs 29:11. A fool vents all his feelings. A wise man holds them back. Just because you feel it, just because you think it, just because you're emotionally moved doesn't mean you have to say it. Filter it. King James Version of Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it till afterwards. In Proverbs 29:20, do not be hasty in your words. Filter them. If you're saying the wrong things, stop. I know there are homes in which the young children are not allowed to say this phrase, but I think it has import. If you are saying the wrong things, shut up. You know what the first rule of holes is? If you're in one, stop digging. How many times do we get in a hole with our words? Stop digging. The wise man says, if you've been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you've devised evil, put your hand on your mouth. Stop digging. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitudes of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. You have to filter what you say. You can't just say everything that comes into your head. Filter it. In Ephesians 4:29, Christians are told, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Say things not that are corrupt, but that which are things that are good, things that are necessary to build people up, things that impart grace. These are the things that need to be on the lips of Christians day by day. And so, spare your words. He who has knowledge spares his words. You ever heard somebody say or maybe said something like this yourself? Well, I went and gave that person a piece of my mind and I didn't spare any words. Well, they told them what for and they didn't spare any words. 99.7% of the time when that's said, person needed to spare some words. Didn't need to say everything that they said. That could be a higher percentage, I'm not sure. Lastly, filter what you see. There is so much in the world that we live in today that can grab the attention of our eyes and of our minds and pollute our souls. The psalmist said long ago in Psalm 101 and verse 3, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. My understanding of what he's saying in this passage is not as if he's, you know, got some picture of a wicked thing and he's going to sit down and look at that. Of course, that pretty much describes what happens watching a lot of television shows today, isn't it? You've got this wicked thing that's going on, and Christians just sit there and look at it. I think that's forbidden in this text, but I'm not sure that that's exactly the kind of thing he's talking about. The concept really is an evil intention, something that's not right. And to put that as something you're going to look at as a goal. You've got to filter what it is that you're focused on. You cannot focus on material things. It amazes me sometimes in the culture in which we live that we even have anybody who is spiritually minded. When every time you turn on a radio, look at a magazine, turn on the television, we're so commercialized, this time of year especially, when, if you can even imagine it, the world has taken one of the most beautiful things that's ever happened in human history, the birth of Jesus Christ, and turned it into a materialism bonanza, where everybody is focused on things, things, things. Acquiring things. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22, I want you to listen to this. I think sometimes we miss this context. I'm going to read the verses, and then I want to tell you what's on both sides of these verses. Matthew 6 and verse 22. Here's what it says. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, the whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus is definitely talking, isn't he, about filtering what we see. In this context, these two verses are in the middle of a warning about that Jesus gives in verse 19 about laying up for ourselves treasures on earth. And the next verse, Matthew 6 and verse 24, is about making money our master, a warning against making money our master. No man can serve two masters. You know, either he'll hate one and love the other, hold one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So what I want you to see is in this context, what's Jesus talking about? He's talking about materialism. He's talking about being focused on worldly things. On the possession of things and making that the concern of our lives. In the whole context, it's basically don't worry about these things. Don't focus on these things. God will take care of you and give you what you need. Just put Him first, His kingdom first, and get your eyes off of things. That's the message. And then we need to be cautious, of course, about focusing on lust-provoking things. And there are a lot of those in this world as well. We've talked from time to time over the last year, especially about the dangers of things like pornography and immodest apparel and so on and so forth. You can add many other things to that list. Job had said, I made a covenant with my eyes. I'm going to filter some stuff. Basically what he's saying, I've agreed, I'm not going to let just anything come through these eyes. He says, why then should I look upon a young woman? Well, the lesson's yours. If we're going to be pure on the inside, we're going to have to turn on some filters, folks. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Here's why I want to be pure on the inside. Here's why I want my filters to be working at maximum capacity. Because Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And in the end, that's really all that matters, I think. When our eyes behold through the gathering night, city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore. If we're pure in heart. If you're not pure in heart this morning, Jesus' blood can cleanse you. Give yourself to Him. Obey His commands. We ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.
Thou art leading, so